Hello and welcome to the podcast of CC Digital Law. This episode is about free and open source software and its licenses. I am your host, Melanie Graf. I am a legal counsel at the University Library of Basel and a member of CC Digital Law. I am specialized in free and open source software licenses and more generally in intellectual property law in the context of new technologies. This series on free and open source software is split into four parts, each one focusing on a specific aspect of free and open source software. This first part is an introduction to the basics of free and open source software. So first, what is free and open source software? Simply put, it is software that anyone is allowed to use, study, copy and share, as well as modify and share the modified versions of the software. Many of you use free and open source software every day. For example, the Mozilla Firefox browser and much of the Android operating system on your smartphone is also free and open source software. Further examples are the GNU Linux operating systems, WordPress, LibreOffice and OpenOffice, the VLC Media Player, Mozilla Thunderbird, and many more. To show you what makes computer programs free and open source software in more detail, I will answer the following question. How to make free and open source software? Basis of every software is a written code. Computer programs are a set of encoded instructions that a computer can execute. So to make free and open source software, you first have to write these encoded instructions. Nowadays, most computer programs are written in so-called source code. An example of source code that you may have heard of is the if-then argument. So let's say you write a computer program to send and receive emails. So an email program. And you want the computer to show a symbol of a letter when a new email is received. Therefore, you write in the source code file of your email program, if the email program receives an email, then show a little letter icon in the corner of the computer display. Of course, this is not an exact example. It's just to show you that the source code is almost plain text. It is understandable for humans, or at least for programmers, that know the programming language. So after you've written all your instruction, you have many text files with human-readable source code saying that if an email is received, then the computer has to show a letter symbol. But there is a problem. Your computer does not understand the source code you have written. Your computer only understands ones and zeros. It does not understand text, nor does it understand letters. So your computer is not able to execute your instructions that you wrote in the source code yet. Therefore, you let another computer program translate your source code into machine-readable ones and zeros. This code of ones and zeros is called object code. So then the if-then statement from before is translated into many, many zeros and ones. And now your computer can understand your instructions. And when you run your object code of ones and zeros on your computer and you receive an email, then your computer will show a little letter symbol. So, congratulations, you have successfully written a computer program. Now, you give your friend a copy of your machine-readable object code. Does this mean that your email program is free and open source software? No, it's not. Your friend is able to run the program, but your friend is not able to study or change your email program because your friend only has a copy of your object code with ones and zeros. It is extremely hard for humans to understand this code, and It is very hard and time-consuming, if even possible, to translate ones and zeros back into human-readable source code. But a lot of software is distributed only in the form of machine-readable object code, for example, the Windows Outlook email program, or Windows Word, or the Apple operating system, and so on. When you buy such programs, you only get the machine-readable object code. And software that is distributed this way is often called proprietary or closed source or non-free software. But you want to make your program free and open source. Therefore, you also give your friend a copy of your human-readable source code. Now your friend is able to run your computer program. She now is also able to study your computer program because now she can read your human-readable source code. And because she has your source code, she is also able to change your computer program. So you see that to make the source code of a computer program accessible is elementary to make software free and open source. But access to your source code, is it enough to make your email program free and open source? No, it's not. Your email program is still not free and open source software because even though your friend is now able to make copies, changes, and share your email program with other people, it is illegal for your friend to do so. And that is because of copyright law. So let me briefly talk about copyright and computer programs. Both the source code and object code of a computer program are regularly protected by copyright law. This means you, as the author of your email program, automatically become the owner of the copyrights of the source and the object code that you wrote. This means that you now own a bundle of rights to exclusively use the code that you wrote. There are many of those exclusive rights in the context of free and open source software. There are three relevant rights of use. First is the exclusive right to make copies of the code. For example, you are the only one allowed to copy your code and save it on a USB stick or on a CD or to print your code on paper or even to copy it by handwriting. This is the exclusive right to copy. Second is the exclusive right to distribute copies of the code. This means you are the only one allowed to, for example, make your code available online for download or sell a CD with a copy of your source or object code. This is the exclusive right to distribute. And third and last is the exclusive right to modify the computer program that you wrote. This means you are the only one allowed to change or modify your code. For example, you want to add code to your email program to let your computer make a sound when you receive a new email. You are the only one legally allowed to do that. No one else is. That is the exclusive right to modify. As the owner of the copyrights of your email program, you are the only one allowed to copy, share, modify, and distribute modified versions of your email program. Without the consent of the owner of the copyrights, that is you, everybody else is legally excluded from these uses. So, in order to make your computer program free and open source, you have to explicitly allow your friend to copy, distribute copies, and modify your program. The act of granting such rights to use is called licensing. So now you license your copyrights to your friend, and your friend is now technically and legally able to run the software, copy the software, distribute the software, modify the software, and distribute modified versions of your software. So now you have almost made free and open source software. There is just one thing left. Your friend has now your approval to copy, distribute and change your email program, but only your friend has your approval. If she sells a copy of your email program, the buyer of the email program has no right to copy or change it. But with free and open source software, everybody that gets a copy of your computer program also has to get your consent to use your copyrights. But you don't want to talk to everybody that gets a copy of your email program, therefore you attach a written agreement to your computer program that grants everybody who receives a copy of your computer program the right to copy, distribute and make modifications. Such agreements that regulate the grant of rights to use are called licenses. With that license attached to your software, your computer program is now free and open source software, because everybody that gets a copy of your email program is allowed and able to run, copy, share, modify, and share those modifications with others. You don't have to write that license yourself. There are many written agreements that regulate this exact content. That is the licensing of the right to copy, distribute and modify software, as well as how the human readable source code of the software has to be made accessible in the sense of the free and open source software definition. These licenses are called free and open source software licenses. So to resume, what is free and open source software? Free and open source software is, simply put, software that anyone is able and allowed to use, study, copy and share, as well as modify and share the modified versions. The easiest way to do this is make your source code accessible and license your computer program under an already written free and open source software license, which implements the free and open source software definition. So this was how to make free and open source software. In the next second part of the podcast on free and open source software, I will describe where you can find free and open source software licenses, and I will explain the term free and open source software in more detail. So this is it for the first part. If you have any questions or feedback, please write to info@ccdigitallaw.ch. Thank you very much for listening.